Okay, A Gathering of Days, A New England Girl's Journal, 1830 to 32, by Joan W. Bloss. This is chapter 2. Wednesday, November 10th, 1830. I saw my phantom again today. This time, it stayed a little longer. A longer while, peering and peering into the dusk, and in the same location, over by Piper's Woods. I am resolved to examine the spot and prove myself to A. And Cassie, both inclined to tease me still about my apparition. Now, Kath, they'd say, what headless being will you find today? Or, have you strayed hogs, Catherine Hall, to take you into the woods? Sophie told us today Sophie told us today in school, her father says when she turns 15, she's to be sent to Lowell, Massachusetts, there to work in the mills. The Perkinses are badly off. And as she's strong, she could make good money, being also healthy and well used to hard work. But Sophie, to go to Lowell, I should be quite terrified to be thus torn from all I love, people, places, and ways. Sophie says the recruiter said the houses there have parlors for the girls and are very well lit, very well kept. Some of them even have pianos. Sophie is musical, like all of the Perkinses, and oft will sing so prettily when her father fiddles. I dare say she will learn to play and soon delight them all. Friday, November 12, 1830. Why are a scolding woman's hands and a fur cap alike? Both will warm your ears. Tuesday, November 16, 1830. Joshua Nelson was thrashed in school. What he had done was not half so bad, or so Teacher Holt explained, as that he sought to put the blame on another scholar. After the thrashing, he had to write, "To thine own self be true, on fool's cap 100 times. It is from a play by Mr. William Shakespeare, who, Teacher Holt explained, lived and wrote in England back in 1564 to 1616. To thine own self be true, Teacher Holt believes that very much, and so do I think. Saturday, November 30th, 1830. Mr. Shipman's sister arrived last night, very late, but in good spirit, despite her lengthy journey. It was nearly midnight when the coach reached the bridge where her arrival became expected. It was nearly midnight when the coach reached the bridge where her arrival being expected. Mr. Shipman met her and fetched her belongings home. She left Boston at 3 a.m, having traveled there from Salem. How odd a sight in the shipman's yard, so stylish a figure, from bonnet to boots, waving and chatting from the wagon seat, and all by flaring torches of pitch to ward off the midnight dark. She strongly resembles Mrs. Shipman, although much younger in years. I and Cassie were allowed to await her actual arrival. Thus I saw the large trunks she bought, each of them capacious. Also of hat boxes, more than a few. I know as I carried them all in. Today she showed us the gifts she brought. Lengths of satinette and cashmere, and several of Godey's ladies' books, that Cassie's mom may sew a best dress in style. of her choosing. Trims of lace and braid, there were two. Trims of lace and braid, there were two. And a set of real jet buttons. Cassie and I simply fell on the books, and tucking under our schoolgirl collars, quickly pretended to cloaks and gowns of the latest fashion. Monday, November 22nd, 1830. The weather appearing very severe, we were early dismissed from school. Afterwards, Cassie called on me, bringing along the stockings she's knitting, and wrapped so well in her mother's shawl, I almost mistook her figure. We sat pleasantly, side by side, and scarcely noted the gathering dark, so busy were tongues and fingers. Cassie showed me, as she'd recently learned, to knit a long hair with the yarn, and then one turns the heel. I'm sorry, let me read that again. Cathy showed me, as she'd recently learned, to knit a long hair with the yarn when one turns the heel. This will give it added strength and so prolong the wear. Sophie has told me she admires A, but Cassie, when I told her of it, observed that Sophie needed hardly confess what anyone could see. As for Asa, he cares for her not, and mocks her little simper and nose that wrinkles ways. Cassie and I are quite agreed. We'll not reveal affection until certain of its return. Apples were excellent this year. We enjoyed several today. Tuesday, November 23rd, 1830. As the snow continued, we did not go to school. Later, when it had abated, I cleared the pathway to the barn as a help to Father. It is quite uncommon to have snow so deep so early. Thanksgiving Day, 1830. Such a feast as we had at the shipman's, with food till we could eat no more, and divers pies aplenty. Also the pudding and the Yankee cake and the gingerbread. Uncle Jack set us all to laughing, pretending he simply could not decide which of these sweet cakes he liked the best, and tasting of each repeatedly. To know where to place my approval, still at the table, Willie fell asleep, when was carried off to bed and his stockings on. Aunt Lily, we are to all call her, same as the shipman children. Aunt Lucy. We are all to call her that, same as the shipman children. Aunt Lucy wore her dark green silk, the one she wore the day she came, and laughed and chatted with everyone, of a merry crowd the gayest. Cassie's mother wore her old dress, but brightened it with lace at the cuff from Aunt Lucy's supply. Also were the jet buttons used, which sparkled from Cassie's Sabbath day best and made it look quite new. My collar received good admiration, and Maddie would hike up her gown and skirts the better to show the boots. Father seemed not lost in thought, as is often his manner. He added many a witty remark, and with Maddie upon his lap, as the evening drew to a close, oft held the party's eye. Then, is it wrong to wish we might, one day, at our house and table, exchange the parts of hosts and guests, as we have so long played them? That is the end of chapter 2.